Hello. Thank you, worship team. I really appreciated that last song. What an invitation. What a thing Christ has done for me, for us, on our behalf. I do have one announcement that I want to say, draw attention to. Avery Siebert is getting baptized this afternoon out at the beach at SABC. If you want to join us, you are welcome to come and be there. The baptism's at 4:30, so if you can be there by 4:30, just come down, park by the beach. Someone else is also getting baptized, and we'll hear her testimony, and we'll see her get dunked. And then afterwards, the camp is providing some watermelon and for snack because they know it's supper time. They can't host us for supper this time because they have another camp starting this evening. And so they don't want to just sort of say, get out of here, but they're trying to give us a little something for the ride home. But we have to be out of there by 6 o'clock, and I'm sure we will be. But yeah, so for those who want to come, that's out at camp. And we're excited for you, Avery. So, yeah. can we pray? Father God, thank you. Thank you for demonstrating love to us. Thank you for your word. Thank you so much for the freedom that we have to come here today, to gather here today. I think of the luxury and rich life that we have. I think of like things like our freedom, our peace, the quiet streets that we have. These things I think we take them for granted, and I'm sorry, but thank you. And I just pray for your church, pray for the persecuted church around the world, and we just ask that you would continue to show yourself, Jesus. I pray that you would give them strength and peace and comfort, and I pray that we would hear their stories and their testimonies, and we would remember them. I love you, Jesus, and in your name, amen. If you have your Bibles, grab them. You're going to need them this morning. We're going to do a lot of flipping, but we're going to start in Mark chapter 15. Pastor Larry did a great job last week preaching, and I don't know about you, but I was really encouraged, and I was fired up when I went home, and I sent him a text, and I'm like, man, thank you, brother. I really appreciate that. And you guys know this about me. You know the things that get me excited, and one of the things that gets me really excited is the body of Christ and how the Holy Spirit has given the followers of Christ gifts and talents to be used for the church, for God, for His glory. And so often we get comfortable and we forget what our gifts and talents are. And so sometimes it's really encouraging to see others use their gifts and their talents. And so Larry, that's what I saw. That was part of what got me fired up. But we're in Mark chapter 15, picking up where we left off with Jesus dying on the cross. Does anyone remember what day of the week it is? Friday, okay? It's Friday, and what time of the day are we talking about roughly? Where are we in the day? Do you guys remember? Died at 3, okay? So it's mid-afternoon, it's Friday, and for the Jewish people, what happens the next day? Sabbath, right? And when does Sabbath start? Sundown, at dusk. Okay, good job. You're starting to talk more, you see? Yeah, we're loosening up. This is good. Okay? So it's mid-afternoon, Sabbath is coming, it's also Passover week, and at sundown, all the rules of Sabbath start, so they can't work, they can't do anything, and Jesus' body is on the cross. And one of the other things, before we get into it, we're at verse 42, for those who are still trying to find it, 15:42. One other thing. So death on the cross, the crucifixion, This is a cruel death. Okay, this is a cruel tool that was developed by the Romans, and they this isn't a death that was like, oh, that's an easy, oh, you're lucky, you got to die on a cross. This is like one of the worst ways they could think of to have someone die. And it doesn't, like, someone doesn't die in like 3 hours, okay? It took days, okay? 2 to 3 days, they kind of say, they don't test it anymore, right? Like, but it would take 2 to 3 days to see for someone to die. So this was a long, drawn-out death. They're hanging by nails, right? And nails in their feet, and they're on the cross, and what would happen is, it would be like a death by suffocation, because they're hanging, and they can't breathe. They can't lift themselves up, because they'd have to lift up on the nail, push up on a nail to take a breath, okay? And so it's like this painful death, and they're on this, on the cross. So it's this long, drawn-out, painful death. But Jesus, he died a lot quicker. It was a little unusual. And we're going to catch a little bit of that in our passage today, in the scripture that we read. And I think it really speaks to Jesus' last words of, "It is finished." It really speaks to all of our sin and all of our shame were placed on him. Okay, and we're going to come back to that at the end of my message, if I remember, hopefully, or if we have time. 15:42. It was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the mother of Jesus saw where he was laid. Okay, I'm going to grab something over here. Okay. We have a new character in this story, okay? We have Joseph of Arimathea, okay? Have we heard about Joseph so far in Mark? This guy? No, he hasn't come up, okay? It's a trick question, sorry. So Joseph is this new guy who comes up, someone brought this to my attention a few years ago, and it just blows my mind how God has inspired Scripture, okay? How the Holy Spirit inspired the authors and put it down, and it's been preserved, and it speaks to us. And I think there's something we can learn here from Joseph today, and I want to take a moment to look at him, which might sound weird because Jesus, like, okay, it's okay. It'll make sense. What do we know about Joseph of Arimathea? What, just from this passage, sorry, so don't go from what we just read, these verses, what comes up? Yeah. Just read your the Bible again. Just, it doesn't say priest. No, it's okay. You're on the right track. He's a man of influence. He's important. You're not just, he's on the council. Good job, okay? So he's on the council. Okay? And just to remind ourselves, the council and the Sanhedrin, these are kind of like, these are the rulers of the Jewish people. They're rulers on a leash, right? Like the Roman Empire's in charge, but of the Jewish people, and they're kind of the protectors of the law, make sure everything's going the way it's going, okay? So he has power, he has influence, okay? And it also mentions he's a prominent member of the council, okay? Anything else? He's bold, okay? Nice, waiting. Kingdom of God, right? So it says, okay. Anything else in this passage we find out about him? Compassion. Why does that, I don't know. Okay, yeah, compassion. Compassion for whom, would you say, maybe even? Of Jesus, you think? I think it's like, yeah, okay, for anyone, okay, compassion. Come. Yeah? No, this is good. He's strong? Okay, why do you think that? Okay, nice. Okay, strong. So, sorry for arguing. I didn't catch that. That was good. I didn't catch that. Okay, this is good. Let's turn to Matthew. See, Joseph of Arimathea, he actually comes up in all four accounts, all the gospel accounts of the burial of Jesus. And we're going to find a picture of him and learn a bit about who he is. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 27. Chapter 27, verse 57 to 61. Okay, Matthew 27, verse 57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body in clean linen, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. Okay. Anything else come up about this guy? Couple new facts. Pardon? He's rich, okay? Pardon? Follower of Jesus. Good job. Yeah. Sorry, what was that? His own tomb. Okay, so this was his tomb that Jesus was placed in. Big deal. Anything else? Pardon? He plans ahead. Oh, okay, nice. Okay. Okay, unused tomb. New. Okay. Okay, now there's just a couple things that came up in my study that I want to sort of point out. And that's to him coming and getting the body, okay? So we kind of noticed, like, when he came and asked Pilate for the body, that there's this question of, like, Pilate's kind of like, what? He's dead already? He sends someone to go check confirmation. So Pilate's kind of surprised that he's already dead. Wasn't expecting that, right? The other thing is, who was Jesus hung with? Like he wasn't the only one crucified at the same time. There's two other people, and who were they? Thieves, criminals, right? So this was a criminal death, and criminals weren't given the luxury of, like, a special burial, okay? They were just sort of, all the criminals went to the criminal grave. It's sort of probably kind of like a pit or something. But they weren't, because they were a criminal, they lost the luxury of having a proper burial, okay? The other thing is, it seems like there might have been some instances where they family members were allowed to come and get the body and help. So in some special circumstances, family members could come and ask for the body and say, can I bury the body? Now, Joseph of Arimathea, Arimathea is a village in the hill country of Ephraim. And for most of us, myself included, we're kind of like, what does that mean, right? So that's 20 miles northwest of Jerusalem, okay? So that's where he's from. And so we know he's not related to Jesus, okay? So he's not a family member, and Jesus had a criminal death. Now, when it talks about him coming boldly before Pilate, he was taking a risk. He's taking a chance here. So this wasn't normal behavior, especially because of his position in the council, his authority. It was unusual for him to come and ask. Like this, so when it says boldly, I think I don't think we understand how much courage and boldness maybe that took. Does that make sense? Okay. And he came and asked for the body of Jesus. The other thing is, we'll get to this in a minute. Okay. Let's turn to Luke 23. Luke 23, verse 50. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to the decision and action. Whoa. What is Luke talking about there? Yeah. Say that again, yeah. He wasn't in on the plot of Jesus' crucifixion. Okay, good job, David. If you remember, like we've been going through Mark, and back in Mark chapter 14, we get a picture of Jesus before the Sanhedrin, okay, and the council, and in verse 55, it says the whole Sanhedrin was present. Now this was like, a couple of things about Jesus' trial was kind of weird. It was at nighttime, that wasn't allowed. It wasn't supposed to be like that. There's false witnesses. Like, there's a lot of things written down around the account of Jesus' trial that is sort of like, this was unusual, this isn't normal. And it just speaks to the plot that was going on around him. And then in verse 64 of Mark chapter 14, it also says, all condemned him of the way of death, okay? So it says that they all voted and were like, this is what we want. So now some people will be like, oh, this is a conflict of scripture here. Well, not necessarily. Maybe he wasn't there. And something's going to come up later on that maybe might suggest that maybe he didn't even say anything. We don't know, okay? Let's keep reading. Sorry, that just got me excited. I'll just start over. Now there was a man named Joseph, and a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea and was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb, now his body, and how his body was laid in it. And then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Okay, so I already mentioned, so he's on the council, but he wasn't in favor, okay, so he condemned it. So what I wrote down. Oh, consented. He didn't consent. No consent. Okay? Anything else we found out new about Joseph in this passage? Okay, thank you. Good and upright. Okay, thank you, yeah. Anything else? Stand alone, willing to stand alone, okay. Okay, like we're getting quite a picture of this guy here, right? It doesn't show up really in Scripture except these four things, and it's crazy. Let's turn to the last gospel, John chapter 19. Verse 38, John 19, verse 38 to 42. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly. What? Did you catch that? Like, that's a bomb. Okay, we'll come back to it. But secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus. Whoa, who's Nicodemus? Came to Jesus by night. Also a member of council in Sanhedrin, right? Like, this is, it's kind of cool because, yeah, anyways, okay. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking, which is like, this is like how they buried like rich people, like kings. This was like a honor burial these guys were giving Jesus. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Okay. Anything new? Tomb was in the garden, okay? Where's my pen? In garden. Okay. Yeah. Oh, friends with Nicodemus, okay. Friends with Nick. Okay. Secret disciple! What is that? Like, I just want to like paint this whole page. Secret disciple? Like, okay. This is like, here's what I wrestle with, or what I, so often when we hear of what a follower of Jesus is, right? Follower of Jesus, someone who looks like Jesus, models their life after Jesus, and does and cares for things of Jesus. We also read passages of Scripture where Jesus says, you know, if you deny me before man, I'm going to deny you, like all this. And we kind of have this follower of Jesus must pick up their cross, and it's like this big, bold thing that happens daily, and all can see it. Another thing also that kind of like, I feel like, sometimes comes up in culture is this denying of self. Which often sort of speaks to, I'm going to take a lower life kind of thing, or not a rich paycheck. And here we have this guy, Joseph, who's rich and a secret follower of Jesus. Um, it encourages me that that's written down. Because as a Christ follower, I some days I'm a secret follower of Jesus too. And so I identify with him, I guess. And maybe that's why it gets me so excited. But we see the character of who Joseph is, okay? I think we really get a good picture of his heart, of who he is, of his love for God. And I feel like he kind of, he has like an Esther moment, okay? And what I mean by an Esther moment is like, for such as the time as this, like from Mordecai's challenge to Esther, who is like, well, maybe you're in the position that you are for such a time as this. And it's going to cost you something and you're going to have to take a step. But Joseph of Arimathea has this moment where he has to plant his flag, sort of like pull out his card and says, yeah, I'm with Jesus. And he has to do it in a very bold and public way that puts his cards on the table, so to say. And there's no turning back from it. And almost in doing that, he doesn't know if his plan is going to work. He doesn't know how it's going to play out. But it's like him and Nicodemus, maybe there's others. They saw Jesus, they heard what he said, they considered it, and realized, this doesn't make sense. Like, yeah, this is a man, but surely this is God. This doesn't make sense. And I know in Mark, back in Mark 15, at the death of Jesus, the centurion goes and testifies, man, this must have been the man of God. Or the son of God, sorry. And the other thing that it doesn't say this in the passage, but it makes me wonder if maybe Joseph of Arimathea was nearby the crucifixion of Jesus. Maybe he saw the death of Jesus personally and came to the point where he was like, yeah, this was the Son of God. We just killed him. Why do I think that? I think that because Jesus died a quick death on the cross, which was unusual. He knew before Pilate that he was dead, and he went and asked for the body. I don't know where you're at or what's going on in your life. But I really feel like because of people like Joseph of Arimathea, God gives us an invitation to reach out to him and accept his hand and say, okay, I'm with you, Jesus. I'm going to identify myself with you. I just want to kind of pause that thought for a second, and I want to do something different for a moment. Last week, Larry said something, and he talked about how on the cross, as Jesus was dying, and when he died, a spiritual transaction took place. And I want to talk about that for a moment, because I really think I do believe a spiritual transaction took place when Jesus died on the cross. And Jesus' death on the cross, his life, his whole life, and his death and resurrection, I mean, this is something that I believe from the Garden of Eden, when God talks about a serpent coming and striking the heel of the seed of Adam. That it's talking about Jesus, right? This is like this prophecy that right from the beginning, God has this plan to redeem mankind. Okay? And so all of right from creation, all those years leading up point towards Christ. And then now we live in this period where we're looking back and we're saying, it's because of the cross. So this spiritual transaction took place. And so I was trying to think, how could I help that make more sense? And I hope this helps. I don't know if it will. Is there any junior highs here? Anyone in junior high? Okay, if you're in junior high, come sit in the front row, please. You're not in trouble. Don't worry. Okay. Come sit down right in the front row. Yeah. Come on over. Good job. Okay. Yeah, there's some more room. Yeah, good job. Okay, thanks for coming down all the way. This is a big deal. Yes, thank you. Thanks, Andrew. Yes. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you a few questions, okay? See if you know the answers. Were any of you born in a hospital? Oh, okay. So put your hand up. You're born in a hospital. Okay, so all of you were born in a hospital, okay? Okay, you're all born, birth. Okay? I don't know if you know about this, but being born in a hospital is very expensive. Did you know that? It costs a lot of money. But in Canada, that cost kind of gets taken out of our taxes. Do you know what taxes are? A little bit? Okay. So if you don't, okay, I'll help you understand, Joel. It's kind of like you go to work, and your boss says, Joel, you're doing such a good job, I'm going to pay you $500 a day for your job. Exactly. Then this other guy called the government comes and takes half of it out of your pocket. That's right. You got it. Okay? So your parents paid for this, just not up front, right? So, well, kind of, maybe, I don't know how it works out. But anyways, they did pay for it, okay? Do any of you guys like eat at your home?
Yeah.
Like,
I
doubt that. You've been growing this year. So you guys eat? Like, who has breakfast? Most days, some days, okay? Yeah, breakfast, okay. Who has lunch? Okay. Does anyone have supper? Okay, so I don't know if you're counting, but that's three meals we're up to so far, okay? Three meals. Okay. Do any of you have snacks in the day? Snacks? Okay. Oh, and end of the day snacks? Ooh, I got to come to your house for snacks. That's two snacks. Wow. Okay. So two snacks. Okay. And I'm assuming this is kind of every day. Is this every day you eat? Okay, every day. Okay. River eats all day, every day. Okay. So 365 days. Okay. I noticed none of you are naked today. Did you guys buy your clothes? None of you bought your clothes? Well, that cost someone. So mom and dad bought your clothes. Okay. You made your clothes? Oh, your mom. Oh, good job. Nice. That's love right there. Okay. So you have clothes on, but it still costs you something. So. Okay, so you got clothes on. Shoes would fall under that. Okay. Do any of you play sports? Organized sports? Okay. You know, yeah. Okay, the boys all are putting their hands up. Okay. So we got soccer people. Yeah. Okay. So sports, that costs money. Okay. And we won't even get into the hockey side of what it costs, okay? So the hockey people, that's you guys, it's different. Now, the other thing I was wondering about, do you guys go to school? You all go to school? Okay, so this is going to sound weird. This is like another one of these like tax things, but school actually costs a lot of money, okay? So that has to come on the list of things that cost you. And then there's another thing, couple things. Like, you all look nice and clean, so I'm assuming you all live in the house at home?
Yes.
And you have access to the bathroom?
Okay.
No, yeah, sure he does. Okay? So you live in homes, and you guys, there's transportation costs in having kids and raising you. So this is a long list, okay? And there's a lot of things. Actually, one of the things that is coming up more now, that I don't know if any of you guys had it, but it is childcare, okay? But that's another cost that's coming in on people's monthly, daily costs. Now, any guess what this costs a year? $1,000? $1,000. Man. Any other guess?
So we got
$1,000. Okay, you said 45. Your dad makes a lot of money, whoever said that. Okay? So some people, accountants likely, ran the numbers, and they say to raise a kid now, this is 2011 numbers, okay? I didn't go by the 2015 ones because I'm like, that's just crazy. But in 2011, they said the annual cost of raising a kid, get this, $12,824 a year. Okay? A year. And then you all plan on like living till 18, right?
Yes.
Okay, at least. Okay. So if this goes on for 18 years, this comes out to a grand total of $243,656. That is a lot of money. Now, to the Mennonites in the room, yes, you can do this for cheaper. I get that. I get that. I totally understand that. Okay? Because you're like, Darren, you got five kids and there's no way. You can do this for a lot cheaper. So, yeah, you're all pretty skinny. Here's my question for you guys in the front row. Are you guys saving money? Yeah? Because when you turn 18, you're paying this back, right? No? When you turn 18, you got to pay that back. Wouldn't that make sense? Okay, so why would your parents spend $250,000 on each of you and not expect any of it back? They love you. They love you. Okay. I'll put a big heart on the page. Okay. Love. Who do you belong to? Okay, yeah, you belong to God. You belong to mom and dad. Okay? Okay, you belong to mom and dad. And mom and dad are saying, you don't have to pay us back because we love you. Because you're part of the family. You're our family. And in our family, we take care of you. We look out for you. And you know what? There's a lot of things that aren't represented in a dollar amount. It's like the times when mom and dad go and hang out with you, or dad teaches you something, or mom teaches you something, or you're sick and puking, and it's the middle of the night. Your mom and dad love you when they take care of you. The fact that none of you are wearing diapers still speaks to a lot of love, because it is not easy to train someone to use the toilet, okay? I do know that from experience. Now, when we talk about a spiritual transaction happened on the cross, God is a holy God. And then that simply means He's set apart, okay? There's no sin and he can't even be near sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, all of our sin, all of our shame, everything that we owed to make things right was placed on him. Okay? A few weeks ago, we talked about this word redeem. And redeem means it's a new label. Right? You've been given a new label. So when you identify with Jesus and what he did on the cross, and you say, okay, God, I'm reading this in the Bible, and I see this, that Jesus, you paid for my sins, and I want to identify myself with that, and I want to accept that. And we say, Jesus, you're Lord. You get a new label. You get adopted by God. And he says, you know what? Whatever you owed me, it's wiped off. Doesn't matter. Because you're my son. You're my daughter. You're part of my family. And that's to each of us. But the thing is, following Jesus, see, we can have all these good things, these strong character things. We can even keep it a secret. But God is going to work on our hearts. He's going to work on our hearts. And he's going to work on our hearts. And he's going to say, it's not a secret anymore. I want you to step out. I want you to do something about it. I want you to maybe get baptized. I want you to love someone who maybe has hurt you. I want you to forgive someone who's maybe doesn't deserve your forgiveness. That's kind of what the message of the cross is about. There's a few other things that came up in our reading through of all of the gospel accounts, but I'm going to get into that next week. This week I wanted us to meet Joseph of Arimathea, and hopefully you are encouraged in your own walk with Christ. The worship team could come. You guys can stay, or you can go back and sit down, whatever.